Well, good morning, everybody. Before Easter, I was looking with you at Gideon, my unsung hero, and we read the story of his defeat of the Midianite army by the nighttime ambush with just that small select group. And most of the time, people finish the story of Gideon there, but I promised a PS to that story, and so here it is. Before Gideon had reduced his army to 300 people, he'd gone round seeking volunteer soldiers for his military campaign. First of all, of course, he went to his own tribe, his own people. And then he went to other local Israelite tribes, to Manasseh, to Asher, to Zebulun, to Naphtali. But Gideon didn't go to the main tribe, the biggest tribe, that's the Ephraimites. They'd got the biggest number of people to draw an army from. They'd completely eradicated the opposition in their territory in the Central Highlands. They were well known for their ability in battle. In fact, they were probably seen as the main tribe in the Israeli coalition. They had a central position in Israel in so many ways. The two main religious sites, Bethel and Shiloh, were on their patch, just adding to their prestige. So you'd think it was a no-brainer. If you're putting together an army, you go where the best resources are. But Gideon didn't. He never asked for their help. Now, later on in the story, when the Midianites were being chased out of Israel, the Ephraimites joined in the chase. They played a vital role. Their numbers and skill were vital to the success of that operation. But at the start, they were never asked to join in, never asked for help. And you've got to ask why. Now, Gideon was a reluctant leader. He'd been called from a life in agriculture to serve as the nation's military leader. It was a surprise. He was an unexpected choice. He got no visible credentials. There's probably lots of other people who wanted his job. So perhaps he felt rather reticent to go and ask for help from the Ephraimites. Perhaps he was afraid that they wouldn't accept him as a leader. Perhaps he's worried that they would want to replace him with one of their own people. Perhaps he thought they might look down on him, even despise him. Obviously, it just wasn't worth the risk. It's better not to ask than to ask for trouble. Anyway, they came to help in the end, so it worked out all right, didn't it? Well, actually, no, it didn't. Because when the dust had settled, the Ephraimites came to Gideon with their complaint. It was a strong one. The NIV says they criticized him sharply. And you know, when you've been on the mountaintop as Gideon was, it's a hard thing to be suddenly thrown into the valley. Why did you leave us out? They said. Why did you ask everybody except us? Why weren't we invited to help? And one of the most hurtful things in life is to be left out. When everybody else has been invited to the party, but you haven't. When everybody else has been given a gift, but you haven't. When you feel ignored or passed over, forgotten, just left out. Now, Gideon didn't set out to antagonize and hurt the Ephraimites. Perhaps they thought he was being diplomatic in not asking. Perhaps he was a coward in not asking. But for whatever reason, that action comes back to haunt him. And it just serves as a reminder to me that it's so easy to hurt people by leaving them out, even if you do it quite unintentionally. Now, there are a few people who've got a thick skin and aren't bothered, but I guess most people find it hurtful to be left out. Then it brings out all sorts of negative things and we start blaming ourselves when it's not our fault at all. Which is why we need consciously to make an effort to stop, to think, to ensure that we don't leave people out. And the thing that inspires me about the ministry of Jesus is that he was so inclusive. The people who were left out in society in those days were included in Jesus's work. The people with leprosy, with physical deformities and disabilities, people shunned by their community, were physically touched by the hand of Jesus. Zacchaeus, despised because he handled taxes for Rome, was invited Jesus to come to his house for a meal. The women, women were regarded as second class in that culture. They were included as followers of Jesus. The first witness to the resurrection was a woman. Those who broke the sexual norms, whether in prostitution, adultery, having five husbands, they were part of his story. People felt included. They were part of what he was doing. And as his body on earth today, we need to be the same. We need to be known for the fact that we include all, even if some people don't like that. And pastorally, we need to work hard to make sure everybody's included, that people don't fall through the gaps, aren't forgotten or ignored, or made to feel unwanted, unincluded, as if they're not part of it, as if they don't belong. And that doesn't just happen. If you have got a good friendship group, you probably won't be aware of the importance of this. This needs to be deliberate. It needs to be thought through. It needs to be planned so that we're a church where no one feels unincluded, unwanted. And that's why Gideon faced criticism. And, if you do work for God, you're almost bound to face criticism at some stage or another. And it was justified to some extent. On the other hand, he'd done the job without the Ephraimites helping in that opening phase. So he could say, I don't need them anyway. My question is, how do you deal with criticism? Whether it's justified partly or not justified at all, dealing with criticism is a big deal. It's something we all have to do. It's a tool we need in our toolbox as we deal with life, with people, with work, with family, with church. Now, the Old Testament book of Proverbs is full of practical wisdom for life. And Proverbs chapter 15 begins by saying this: a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And although those words hadn't been written when Gideon was alive, Gideon embodies that principle. He does not remind them of his own strategic part in winning the battle, in securing the victory. He does not blow his own trumpet. He does not defend himself. What he does do is to acknowledge that in the final part of the operation, the Ephraimites played a pivotal role, that without them, the Israelites may not have enjoyed the victory that they eventually secured. And so he thanks them for the part they played, and he recognizes the importance of their effort. And that expression of gratitude and recognition seems to change their attitude. Their criticism seems to melt away. A potential problem was averted. Good relationships were restored. And there was a positive outcome all round. Dealing with criticism is a really important lesson to learn. And if you follow Gideon's example, the first thing you do is hold back on that huge desire to justify yourself. So easy to defend yourself in place of criticism. And Gideon had learned to control that urge and that desire to put yourself first. We often read Paul's words about the fruit of the Spirit, and you'll have heard messages about love and joy and peace, even patience, gentleness and kindness, but we don't often hear messages about self-control. And yet we do need to learn to control ourselves. God doesn't do it all for us, although the Spirit does help us. And part of the work of the Spirit in our lives is to help us when we need that self-control. Help us to hold our tongue. Help us not to say something that would just inflame a situation. Help us to let it go, not to hold on to it, not to keep it going when it should be dropped. Help us to stop ourselves before we put our foot in it and make things worse. Help us to stop our voice and listen to somebody else's. The Holy Spirit helps us with self-control. I don't know what would have happened if Gideon had given way to justifying himself and defending his actions, and no doubt he could have done that. It might have been factually correct, but it wouldn't have been wise. Do you know, a few chapters later in the book of Judges, history almost repeats itself. This is after Gideon's time, and another military leader, Jephthah, does exactly the same thing. He goes into a military operation without inviting the Ephraimites to help. And just as before, the Ephraimites complain. But Jephthah didn't deal with it as Gideon did. And the result, two tribes of Israeli brothers were set against each other. There was bad blood, civil war, and 42,000 Ephraimites lost their lives. A terrible outcome that Gideon avoided because he learned to self-control himself when he was dealing with criticism, calmly, with care to keep relationships good. But self-control was only part of the strategy. His other part was to find a way of praising the person who was criticizing him. Now, Gideon didn't invent things that were untrue. It wasn't unwarranted flattery. But he had the eyes to see what was good in those who would criticize him. And he focused on the good things in his critics, things that could so easily have been forgotten in the heat of the moment. And yet, that's not our natural reaction. When somebody criticizes us, we want to criticize them. We see the bad points in them. That comes so easily. Gideon chose to see the good points in his critics and to emphasize those. And that prevented argument and needless bloodshed. It's not easy to be positive when people are being negative to us. But you know, there is good there, even in our critics, if we had eyes to see it. And Gideon did. Now, some of you may have heard of a Baptist minister called Steve Chalk, who's done a lot of pioneering work with young people through Oasis Trust and with challenging schools through Oasis Academy. And he sometimes says some controversial things. One of the things theologians often talk about is original sin. Now, that's not a niche sin that nobody's thought of before. It's the fact that wrong comes so naturally to us. It's inborn in us right from the start. But Steve Chalk chooses to talk also about original goodness, something he says we tend to forget. And if every person is made in the image of God, then not even original sin can wipe out all of that original goodness. There's something of the Creator God in everyone, shown in human kindness and goodness. And haven't we seen that over this last year? Wonderful acts of human kindness and generosity, not just by Christians, but by people of many faiths and people of no faith. And that, says Steve, is original goodness, evidence of the fact that every human being is made in the image of God. And when we're criticized, let's pray that God will show us some of that original goodness in our critics. Let's be positive about those who are being negative, just like Gideon. The Apostle Paul put it like this, and these words are on your notice sheet. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I might add, talk about such things. So what have we learnt? Firstly, that leaving people out really hurts. And secondly, Gideon's two ways of dealing with criticism. Self-control, don't get all arrogant and defensive. And be positive about your critic. And in that way, we can learn to be the peacemakers that Michael was talking about last week when he spoke on that beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers. And just before I go, let me warn you, a spoiler alert, we've not quite got to the end of our look at Gideon. Next week, we're going to close the book on Gideon finally and see how things ended up for him. But that's for next week. Let's pray together. Our loving Father, we thank you that out of these old stories of people who lived so long ago, there are things that we can learn for our lives in this day and this age. We ask, Father, that you would make us sensitive to those who might feel left out by our thoughts, our words, our actions. We ask, Lord, that you would make us inclusive of everyone as a church, that we might be a community where nobody feels unwanted or forgotten or passed over. And we pray, Lord, that when we're criticized, you'll help us to have that self-control so that we don't give in to that urge to defend ourselves. And help us, Lord, to be able to be positive about those who are being so negative. Show us the good things in people and help us to see that goodness that comes because everyone is made in your image. So, Lord, when criticism comes to us this week, as it probably will, help us as we deal with it in a way that turns us to be into those peacemakers who are the children of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.